It's Mark solo today, which is fine because usually I have to set the studio up a little bit darker in here because Tyler's got a nice little forehead glare that I have to contend with. So just to throw Tyler under the bus, I'm going to get right into this. I've got Teresa and Brittany here from Optimized Dental, and we got to do this fast today because, like, you guys are crazy busy. Teresa, you're just like on the outside of a clinic and you're like, you have to get back in. And so let's just get this conversation started. How are things going? What's new? What's exciting? As a car passes by.
Yeah, of course. That one time it was like dead here for 10 minutes and all of a sudden now the traffic's just crazy.
You'll have a parade come by next.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, it is Edmonton, so who knows. We have lots going on. We're just like super pumped. We've been pushing really hard and developing some cool stuff over the last couple of months, and Britt and I have been super excited to like work through a few projects and get them off the ground, which has been an adventure. It's always an adventure, but I
like
feel
that.
Like,
yeah, the adventure.
The last couple of months have been, yeah, like a fantastic adventure. Because I feel like what we've been doing lately is very rewarding. In to bring better patient care to the practices, which has been really nice. So Britt and I have been like just grinding away every available minute between clinic and working with our families and such. Has just been crazy adventure, but we're super pumped for it. So
there's not enough time in the day, you know. There's not enough time. I always say like it'd be great if the earth would spin slower, you know, but anyways, we'd probably fill ourselves up and make ourselves even busier. So work life balance, right?
Is there such a thing?
No.
Is that real?
No, it's a theory. It's some, you know, people say that out there. But let's get into. So I've heard a little bit about what you guys are working on. I'm really excited to hear about this. Teresa, you and I were talking about this new thing at PDC. It seems like 7 years ago now. I'll let yeah, you get right into it. I'm super excited to hear the details of this new service that you guys are offering.
Yeah, we're super pumped because Britt and I have obviously worked in the dental field for a long time, and we have been kind of building out things that have been really helpful to the practice, administratively, business-wise. But this is kind of one of the first projects we built out that's really going to level up patient care and get us a little bit better extension on making sure that we're meeting clinical standards, which we've been super pumped about because it is an administrative thing that we're working on, but it does excel the patient care level. Now Britt has some previous experience working in recare management and obviously in like corporate dental as well, and so it's just we came up with this idea to kind of start a remote recare service because it offers the ability to provide an excellent level of care, but maybe not in the practice, which is an interesting thought. I mean, there's a lot of companies that outsource things, and dentistry hasn't really been one of those things unless it's like cleaning service or something simple like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with the staff shortages that we have been experiencing, and I don't really necessarily see that an end to in the short term. Yeah. We are not getting the same level or quality administrative workers that we used to have. And the training just isn't fast enough to catch them up because we know that in dental, like the training is so long, and continuous. And we have people that, you know, have been working for 10 years and still are learning because dentistry doesn't seem to sit still.
No.
So Britt really put a lot of effort into developing this out because obviously she has a background in that recare service. So the kind of idea was to like help dental offices get more advancement out of their periodontal program and keeping those schedules full. But I'll let her kind of delve into a little bit more kind of what we're seeing and the setup and that kind of thing.
She's kind of just sitting there glowing and smiling.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I'll kind of add to this, like the front end is the first piece, the first experience of the practice. So it all starts there.
Well, and yeah, like that's exactly what we wanted the practices to focus on, because that inpatient care when you're face to face is hard to have when you're answering telephones, when you're trying to get those calls made, when you're trying to get patients figured out, when you're trying to get the schedule filled and everything. So we thought, why not help these clinics out with a consistent team who has over 25 years experience in dental, call these patients, have the conversations that we need to have, figure out the treatment, figure out where the patients are at, and help them move forward in booking into the schedule. Because sometimes the front end team doesn't have the amount of time to sit on the phone, answer questions, go through insurance claims, look at predeterminations, all that stuff. So we just thought, why not help these teams out in growing their schedule while they focus on the inpatient care moving forward?
Yeah, it's genius. Yeah. So on a technological standpoint, how does it work? So do they have login credentials to the practice management software? And it's obviously, you know, a remote service. So how does that work?
Yeah, for sure. So we set up a meeting with them. We get them to set up a login information for their program software and for their ReCare system management. From then we just log in. We usually call them or text them or email them, let them know that we are going to log in for the couple hours that we are going to work with them. And then we are going to log in like we would any other employee at the front end and go forward. Yeah.
So as part of this too, like looking at the data and now looking at this from a growth standpoint, right? Is this like, what are the main objectives here? Is it just to fill a spot, or is there some real tangible, you know, calculations in the goal in this service?
Yeah, so we do track KPIs, and we do manage what's happening with the patients. And I think Brittany can kind of walk in through like chart audits and working through like kind of the step-by-step things that, you know, a general administrative person should be doing before prior to making a call. So it is sometimes cleaning up data within the practice management system. But yeah, some things like that, I think Britt could go into to talk a little bit about the reporting system we send back as well.
Cool.
We just send them a breakdown of all the patients that we've contacted, why we contacted them, what was booked, and when it was booked. So we like to make sure that the team knows exactly what's happening on our end and their end, so that we can simultaneously work together moving forward.
So how does that collaboration work? Is there like a in the morning discussion with the team that's there? Like, you're obviously working in tandem with other front end team members. Is that correct? Right.
Yeah. So generally as ReCare systems work, you have lists, and usually the team likes to work. It's easier for an inpatient to work the most recent. So if they're due or they just canceled recently, whatever, it's what the clinic would like us to focus on. So if they want us to focus on past 18 months, reactivation of patients, just whatever they want us to work on, we generally work on that list. Once we're done that list, we move on. But we generally stay in contact with the team monthly just to go forward and make sure that we're on the same page as them.
That's awesome. That's cool. And now, is there some like consultative approach that sort of bridges to the rest of your services, or like, is there some coaching involved in this service as well, or how does that work?
Coaching.
Yeah, there is coaching. Oh, like, sorry.
Obviously.
I don't know if you can answer that one.
One of you.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Yeah, I'll deal with it. Yeah. So we do some consulting, but like we said, we have that monthly report. It kind of feedbacks the information that we're coming across. And so when we do that report, like she said, we're talking about the patients that we're booking, what we've added to the schedule. We're also going over some of the things that aren't being done by the administrative team. So like keeping them accountable to things, like if they're not making proper notes, if they're not doing things, kind of, we're going to come across those things. And then we provide that feedback to the dentist as well, saying, hey, just in case you're wanting to know, this is what's getting accomplished. These are some areas of concern of the admin team that aren't doing it. It's just an extra set of eyes for the dentist sometimes to go into the administrative, where they're getting a report where they don't have to dig into it. They're just getting fed the information and then can make those corrections, which I think is really nice. When we work with teams, we typically will try and work with an office manager or the dentist to like make those corrections or help them figure out how to be a smoother practice. If we're seeing a lot of patients that they aren't rebooking, and we're asking the questions why, like, why didn't they rebook? What's going on with that? We're making notes so that when they get called again, they're being educated as to why they're not being rebooked, and the clinical staff understands, oh, we might need to talk to them about, you know, their disease better. We might need to educate them on what scaling is. We might need to talk to them about when we're face to face, because those conversations, those educational clinical conversations, are great face to face. But we need to kind of like reiterate them on the administrative team. I mean, the administrative training, like I said before, is just, it's not catching up to what the standard should be, just from the lack of staff and turnover that we've had. But also, with this new AAP classification that has come out, I mean, it was out in 2017, I think, but now it's like mandatory starting 2022. The conversation has to change from the front end as well, because now we're expecting patients to come in, you know, 3, 4, 6 months, because we know that, you know, I think it's 70% of the population over 65 has periodontitis. Well, if that's the case, they need to be coming at 3, 4 and 6 months more frequently, which means they need to be having these conversations, but they also need to be recalled, because a lot of people aren't pre-booking. A lot of people aren't educating their patient, letting them know why they need to be returning back into the practice. And that's like essentially what Brittany and her team is supporting, right? That conversation, because we know that the admin team is shorthanded. We know that they're not going to have the same level of education as they used to. And there's just not enough time to train them and expect them to run at full capacity. And that's kind of the gap that we're seeing, and why we've developed this program. And Brittany's just done a wonderful job at making sure those clinical standards are being relayed through the administrative side as well.
It's a deal breaker in the practice, for sure. I mean, so much opportunity for care, for patient care, is lost without the proper things in place, right? And you said it, like, I don't see any help coming soon, like in terms of people, and so this is cool. So great segue here to, like, so folks that don't know about Optimize Dental, let's get into a little bit of what you guys do out there in terms of the rest of your services.
So yeah, we are mostly training. We do offer in-clinic support as well, but we do office management training, associate development, and we're kind of primarily making sure that the team has a sufficient education to be running at full capacity. And then we build practices as well, like as in help them grow, help them improve their operations and systems and protocols. And all that kind of stuff, improve their clinical standards as well. Which I mainly are trying to work on making sure that the teams are supported and have the education to be able to do their job to the fullest capacity. Because if the team is supported and understands what their expectations are and have the education to back it up, then we're seeing a higher success rate in those practices, and they're able to produce more, they're able to be more successful and rely on their team a little bit better without getting that kind of staff burnout that we see a lot of. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we work towards. So we have like a 3-tier service. We have remote recare, we have the training department, and then we have the in-clinic support. So it's kind of a lot, but essentially we're able to help a whole variety of dental practices in some capacity.
Awesome. And like, what are you seeing out there in terms of common mistakes? What are like the top three things that you can jump in and help resolve right away?
Perio program development is a huge one right now. I think it's just really underutilized. Dentists don't understand the amount of value that's sitting in their perio program. I think that that's one area that we look at right away. Another one is just the administrative team education level and just making sure that those members are able to properly and efficiently help the patient experience. And then I think the last one is the office management or the business management. We see a lot of issues with that as well. It's just the education level for an office manager has changed exponentially, and we're now experiencing where the level has to go up, and the office managers that are in current placements just don't have the experience outside of their own personal clinic to get that education and extracurricular education, I guess, or like extended CE is just limited in availability. And a lot of it is Americanized, so you're not getting like a Canadian spin on it. So a lot of American education is really great. And don't get me wrong, I learned a ton of it as well. But then you have to interpret it for Canada and how to utilize it that way, which I feel like dumbs it down a little bit, or maybe we just don't understand how to implement it properly. Although we are slowly turning to more of an Americanized market, we're not sitting there comfortably right now. It's still very much a Canadian market, and we're still seeing a lot of discrepancies on insurance basis, and we're seeing a lot of discrepancy on like marketing. We're seeing a lot of discrepancies on just the business angle and like hard sell or sales aspect of it as well.
I want a good success story. You got a good example, something you're super proud of that you've accomplished over the last little bit here, like.
Oh yeah. So I have one, and it's actually from today. So awesome. It's been awesome. We've had, our trainer who has a ton of clinical experience, Michelle, she's phenomenal. I've been having issues with the diagnostics at this practice, and we are struggling to get proper diagnostic radiographs. And because this clinic is so busy, the staff feel very rushed. And so the consistency and the quality has not been great. And we have new team members as well. So a standard in some practices does not meet the standard in other practices for clinical. So we have obviously the clinical standard at this practice is quite high, but we're not seeing that level of diagnostics that we need diagnostic quality imaging that we need. And so we brought Michelle in to teach them how to take proper diagnostic quality images. And it is like night and day after just 1 hour of like teaching placement, teaching to use the proper equipment. I feel bad because a lot of the RDA schools that we have here are not fantastic on the clinical side. They're really good on the theory, but we're not getting as good a quality clinical students out of it. There's a few good schools, and then there's a lot of not super fantastic schools. And so we're hiring people because we're desperate for RDAs, and we're just not getting the training that they need or the support that they need. So it was really nice to offer that in-house, and I would highly suggest it, just a refresher, because even the hygiene team was like, oh yeah, like I should be taking that, or like, yeah, like I need to learn how to take better vertical bite wings. Because I'm not getting, you know, the bone on that image and not getting the clinical diagnostics that I need out of that image. And so it was really good to have her come in, and after like one hour over a staff meeting, they're already taking way better images and feeling confident in it, and just how to have patient conversations while they're taking these images, how to get the proper angles, making sure that everything is well done. And the doctor then just doesn't worry that they're not missing anything. And that's the biggest thing, is doctors really struggle with losing sleep at night. And I know that they do, because I talk to so many of them, are like not getting the clinical standard met because they feel like they're doing a disservice to their patient. Even though the quality is still high, they're constantly overachieving their expectations. And so it was nice to bring in some training. So if there is one thing that, I mean, we found success in that today, but if there's one thing I can suggest, is to bring someone in to do that, just to highlight something that needs to be worked on. Is there something that could be doing better in your practice? Bring in someone for a lunch and learn, bring in someone to like work on that. Like, it just makes sense to me to get them the support that they need. And a lot of times there's companies out there that will do it for very little money. So it's a low investment into the practice, but you're yielding better diagnostics in this case, and then more treatment plans, because you're actually able to see what's going on, which means you're actually able to have a conversation with the patient and feel confident in the treatment plan that you're prescribing.
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So we're up against the clock here, Teresa. How does one get a hold of you? How do they get started with you? Where do we go?
Yeah, Britt, you can let them know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, no, honestly, just go to our website, and at the very bottom, there's like our contact info. And if you give us a call, that 587-768-1058, then it'll direct you to either myself, Michelle, or Teresa, and then we can just move forward with you from there.
Cool. Any final burning thoughts that you'll probably think of 10 minutes from now after we stop talking?
We're just excited. I feel like we're pretty passionate about what we're doing. Britt and I have quality controlled this remote recare at this point. We've run it through test practices now and feeling pretty confident about it. And I just feel like it's a really good advantage to practices. The one thing I will say is we're not necessarily locking anyone into long-term contracts. So sometimes we're helping clinics that, like, over the summer holidays, their hygiene coordinator's away. Sometimes it's like their staff's going on mat leave and they're bringing in an administrative person, but not necessarily going to be able to fully integrate them into the practice because maybe they weren't able to hire the highest quality person, knowing that in a year from now, they're losing that person anyway. So I think that there's lots of opportunity to look at your staff and decide, is it possible? Do we keep pushing as hard as we do? Or do we like outsource a few things in order to like help the team breathe a little bit? And I think that's something that gets underutilized or underthought about, because you think, oh, we'll just keep going the way we're going. It's fine until it's not. And mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, Britt is just finding that these are the opportunities that I think people just aren't really paying attention to, but are great opportunities to keep the production moving and keep the clinic moving and making sure those patients aren't getting lost. Cause we know, like, if you're not growing, you're shrinking. And if mm-hmm. you're paying attention to your patient retention, then guess what? Your value of your practice is slowly diminishing. And if you're looking to retire, we have to be able to continue to build our practices until we sell. Or if you're looking to grow your practice in your startup, there's opportunities for us to do month to month or limited hours as well. So I think she's set up a really wonderful program that's kind of catered to all demographics of practices.
Awesome.
And one thing, sorry, Mark, if I could just add on, like what Teresa said is, because it's month to month, so you work with us through the summer, you guys, the clinic gets back on track. Then if they want to just come up the holidays, more people are going on vacation, they call us again, they want to set it up. At least there's that consistency. It's the same team calling the patients. It's the same communication as it was before. It's identical. So the nice part is people can use us now. They can use us in a couple months. They can use us here and there, just whatever works for them. So.
Cool. Awesome. You guys made this like, I might've said 10 words. So thank you very much. Thanks for your time. I'll let you guys get back at it. I'm a huge fan. I love what you guys are doing out there. And thanks so much for your time.
Well, thanks so much, Mark. We really appreciate the opportunity to be on here. We love what you guys are doing. So it's really awesome as well. And we're just blessed to be a part of the dental world. And we're just loving it. So thanks so much.
I agree. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Bye-bye.